Good morning. Welcome into In Focus News Radio KMAN on a Friday. We got a busy show lined up for you here today. We're going to start off with Greg McClure, Riley County Extension Ag Agent, joining us here on the program. It's good to have you back.
Good morning.
I understand you have a coworker that's stuck in that traffic down
there. Yeah, I was hearing your reports. We've got a coworker that hasn't made it to work yet, stuck in the traffic down on the interstate.
I imagine you're not alone with that. I bet you there's a lot of folks in Manhattan who've had to adjust their businesses this morning.
Probably lots of folks. If you knew your way around and they'd let you turn around, you know, knew it was going to be an hour and a half, you could sure turn around and make the big loop around through Riley and could have been here by now.
Oh, well, they are redirecting traffic from Chestnut on over to Grandview Plaza right now, which will bypass that.
That ought to do
it. But there's so many cars that are like in the middle of that. From what I understand, we have a coworker that's there in the middle of it right now, and I just checked with her. She's been in that for over an hour and a half.
Yeah, Brandy's been there about an hour and a half.
Yeah,
yep.
So
she must be in the middle of it too. They can do it with each other.
Well, we certainly hope the. She just now just texted and said their traffic is moving.
Good.
So they had some tow trucks that came in. So hopefully, you know, that's a scary situation.
Yeah,
over there for those especially involved, I guess maybe four vehicles.
Yeah.
And some
not
fire.
Good.
And some fire involved,
Ooh.
Too.
So. Oh, darn. Yeah, well, prayers to those involved. Well, what have we got here today, Greg? What do you want to talk about first?
Well, I don't know. We can talk about whatever you want to talk about first. if you look at my list, you know, I'm one of those detail people that give you a list. So if you look at the list, it says we want to talk about weaning calves.
Mm-hmm.
So in my world, you know, it's weaning time. You know, basically, we probably could have been doing it the last 2 months, but often we wean calves, those spring calves, in the 1st of November because that's the end of our pasture season. And just thought maybe we'd talk a little bit about what we sometimes do and what we ought to do.
Okay.
And so, you know, first what we sometimes do, go back to my childhood where we would bring those calves home. They were in pastures, five or six pastures. We had about 100, 120 cows. Five, six pastures scattered out 5 to 10 miles away. And at weaning time, we went and we gathered them over about a week's time. We brought them home. We put the calves in the tightest pen we had. We turned the cows out in the pastures and on the milo stocks nearby, and we let the calves bawl. And that's really not the way we'd like to do things. You know, it's kind of what we would call an abrupt weaning. You know, you just put them in there and take them away from mom, and there you go. If we could do it a little better in that situation, that pen was located about 100 yards east of the old house, down at the bottom of the hill, kind of a muddy lot, and there's, you know, number of things wrong with the situation. You know, the abrupt weaning, the muddy lot. The other thing wrong with the situation was where we had the feed bunks located. Mm-hmm. So in that deal, we had our feed bunks located in the middle of the pen. So if it was muddy, you're driving out in the middle of the pen with a four-wheel drive pickup and hoping you didn't get stuck and scooping feed into bunks. And then bunks are in the middle of the pen where the calves are standing at the side of the pen, bawling, looking for moms. And so when we wean a bunch of calves, what we want to do is get them to find the feed and start eating. And so the first thing we needed to do different was to locate those bunks perpendicular to the fence, along that fence where they're going to stand. So when they're over there looking for mom, they're going to run into a bunk and say, well, hey, maybe I'll eat a little bit. And so step number one, if we were going to do it that way, of course, we needed to build some mounds in the pens. We actually needed to improve the fences in that lot, too, because you put them in the tightest lot you've got, but it didn't always keep them in.
Mm. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
Well, if we could change what we're doing, you know, we would change the system totally, and we would switch to what we would call low-stress fence line weaning. In that situation, ideally, they would be on a pasture near home. You could have the cows and the calves all close to home before weaning 2 or 3 weeks. You could be sure the calves are all worked. They're vaccinated, castrated, dehorned, all that work done. And then you could start feeding a little bit of weaning ration to both the cows and the calves, so the calves are taught how to eat at a bunk. And come weaning day, then you would just move the cows out and leave the calves in that original pasture. The idea there is that the calves are used to it. They're used to eating grass and grass hay or grass, either one. And so that's what they're on, and so it's not such an abrupt change for them. Move the cows to the other side of the fence, whether it be a really good hot wire or whether it be a really tight fence or a tight corral. but that's going to be a much gentler weaning process for our calves and kind of the direction that we need to be moving.
Do you ever find any calves that are really stubborn here? And if so, what do you have to do in that situation?
Well, you know, some of them are just not real bright. You know, they decide that they really want their mom, and some of them find a way to get out to mama. Some of them just continue to bawl at the fence. And so you've got to pay attention, catch the ones that aren't eating. And, you know, if they get sick, you've got to find a way to get them to go to the feed and treat the sick ones.
Okay. Weaning season, it starts now then? Or?
Well, you know, we actually could be weaning about any time. It depends on when the calves are born. So we're looking at spring calvers. A lot of them get weaned now because it's the end of the end of the pasture season. Be better if we weaned some of these in September or October. And if you take a look at flip the page of my notes, the next thing we talk about is what do we do with cool cows? Mm-hmm. So this is the time of year that a lot of guys bring those in. They just figure out which ones are open. They decide that we've got cows that aren't bred, and we just sell them in November. Well, historically, November is going to be the lowest cow price there is. And so we figure the Kansas Farm Management Association says that our cool cows account for about 24% of our gross income. You know, if that's 24% of our gross income, we probably need to find a better way to treat those cool cows rather than just sell them on the low market. And so where I got started on this was, when should we wean? Well, oftentimes we're weaning at least a month later than we should. You know, if we weaned the 1st of October, calves don't gain much in that last month out on grass anyway. So if we could find a way to get those calves weaned, or even sometimes in September, we could decide to wean those calves a little earlier if we knew which cows we were going to cull, get rid of those cows then. Generally, the price will be higher. And so a little different thinking on how to manage those cool cows. We think of them, they're just in the way, we've made a mistake with, you know, they're a failure, and so let's get rid of them. But they're actually an opportunity to make a little more money. Some folks have had real good success putting those cows out on milo stalks or corn stalks, letting them gain some weight over the winter, sell them in March. Generally, cattle market is higher in that March, April, 1st of May, somewhere along in there. So generally that cattle price is higher, pulling the cool cow price up. And so maybe that's a system somebody wants to employ. Downside of that is if you have to provide feed to them all winter, if it's harvested feed, that's expensive. You know, they'll eat about 2.5% of body weight. You know, we're looking at 25, 30 pounds of hay per day. That's going to add up a lot of money. So if we're going to try and keep them to that March, April time period, we need to find a way that it's pretty cheap feed. So for the crop farmer that has crop residue left over, that may be a system that'll work real well for them.
All right. So you do have options there.
We have some options, and most of us don't really do it right. And actually, there's been actually some people made pretty good money by taking advantage of the folks that sell those cows in November, you know, so buy those thin cows, put them out on stocks, put weight on them, and just make money on feeding somebody else's cool cows for a while, or cheaply feeding their cool cows.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Again, we're talking with Greg McClure here from Riley County Extension. He's an extension ag agent. We're going to talk about feedlot mud next.
Yeah. So, again, all the same topic here, sort of. Since we are talking about putting calves in a feedlot, or dry lot, whatever you want to call it. I guess it's not a dry lot if it's muddy. Mud lot, it's called a feedlot. I think it's important to revisit the efficiency lost when those pens are muddy. And so just to give you a feel for it, just take a look at a hind leg on a cow or a calf, whatever, and figure dew claw. So, you know, those are the little things on the hoof there. So hoof deep mud will cause about a 7% loss in efficiency. Well, that's not much mud. It's pretty easy to get ankle deep mud. And ankle deep mud will cause us about a 14% loss in efficiency. Now that's pretty significant if we're spending that much more money on feed in order to put weight on calves. But then I have to think back to, again, that muddy lot at the bottom of the hill where we weaned our calves, and there was even a tighter pen where we kept our 4-H calves. And that thing, I don't know why we didn't figure out. I should have been smart enough as a kid to figure out that this wasn't a good deal. But that was hock-deep mud sometimes, and probably frequently, because it was too close to some trees, so it didn't dry out good. And so when that thing got muddy, it stayed muddy. But hock deep mud will cause us about a 21% loss in efficiency. And let's hope we don't get belly deep. You know, belly deep's about 28% loss in efficiency. That's pretty deep mud. You know, we had a year last year that should make us think about mud. If you remember, it didn't rain all summer, and then it rained, and it rained, and it snowed, and it rained, and it rained, and it just kept doing it. And it was a mess. We don't want another one of those. And I'm just a hobby farmer, and I didn't enjoy it. Yeah. It was a real pain.
Well, and we just had our first, I mean, I wouldn't say significant snowfall, but we had a little bit of moisture this week. How are the pens right now?
Yeah, this wouldn't have done much, so Okay. They're probably still in decent shape. You know, what this did was to slow us down on harvest that was already behind, and so we're going to be sitting here for a while waiting for things to dry down and so we can get back in the field.
Well, mud management, I know, is not easy, especially in the winter months. It's got to be a difficult.
Yeah, you know, once it's there, yeah, you got a problem. You know, if you've got big equipment, you might be able to scoot some of it out of the way, but it's one of those things that we really need to be taken care of before it gets real muddy. And so if you got some time now, should have been done maybe in the summertime. Again, depends on where you lived. Summertime didn't give you many opportunities this year. Mm-mm. I just talked to someone a couple days ago, said that they had 47 inches of rain over the summertime. You know, I didn't get quite that much, but that was farther north and a little bit to the west. And some of those guys just got rain after rain after rain. But if you get some dry time, that's time to clean those pens, get some mounds built in those pens so that there can be a dry spot.
All right. Moving on here, there's also some discussion here coming up on women involved in agriculture.
Yeah, I wanted to do a little bit of an advanced promo on an event coming up. We've done the Women Involved in Agriculture series in the past. This is a statewide series coming up, a business management series for women in agriculture. It'll be 4 sessions. It'll be statewide, and we will access that via Zoom or, you know, FaceTime, whatever you want to call it. I don't know. You know, anyway, that kind of remote system. So we'll have the main speakers via Zoom, but then we'll have local workshops. We'll be doing activities locally, and so we'll have a group together locally, and we'll meet. Start with supper, you know, so we don't want to miss that social time. Mm-hmm. But this is going to be a January to the 1st of February, once a week from January 15 to February 5. So January 15, 22nd, and 29th, and then February 5th. It'll all be business management. So it sounds like it's for the real geeks, right? You know, only the people that want to talk about money. But seriously, there'll be enough social time that this will be fun. It'll be a good time. And the people that are already detailed record keepers, well, you know, they're not the ones that really need to attend. It's those of us that really don't like to keep records, those that don't know how to do a balance sheet. You want to work on your income statement, want to work on your cash flow. And those are the main topics: record keeping, balance sheets, income statements, and cash flow. So those are the 4 topics we'll cover in this series. I think it'll be a good event. Lavelle Windsor and Robin Reed at K-State will be the lead speakers on this deal. We'll also have a session on stress management. That'll be a local session, just about a half hour, and talking a little more about the financial stress that we're dealing right now, and a session on family finance management. And so those will be shorter sessions. $40, supper included, so that's $10 per time. Yeah, it'd be a good deal. If you want to register, if you want to be the first one to register, you can do that online at www.riley.ksu.edu, or give us a call at the extension office, 785-537-6350. So Women in Ag series coming up. In January is going to be the start date.
Okay. Yeah, January 15th through February 5th. Lots of good information for them.
Those are evenings, so 5:30.
Okay. And what about this farm program decision tool you have?
So the next thing that is going to start taking my time is sign up decision making for the new farm program. So this new farm program is not a whole lot different than the one in 2014. We've got choices, though. Used to be you signed up for a farm program and you took what they gave you. Now we've got a choice between agriculture risk coverage and price loss coverage. Same choices we had we actually did this in 2015 for the 2014 Farm Bill. Same choices, but again, different situation. And so we will have a computer software tool available to help with that. We don't have it yet, so we're looking at the 1st of December to start making appointments and meeting with farmers. We've got through the 15th of March to get that done. So just want to let people know, farmers out there, if you're interested in getting some help in analyzing your situation, figuring out which program to sign up for, we'll start about the 1st of December doing some of those appointments. But you've got till March 15, no hurry, because actually it's some of it's based on current prices, and so we'll know more about what prices are as the months, you know, on this first year, when we're going to have a lot of information to deal with because part of it has already occurred. So as we get into March, more crops will have been sold, so we'll know more about prices. I know this is beyond you, Brandon, but somebody might understand.
Yeah, yeah. I know it's important stuff, yes. Yeah. But, and you know, also important is the fall harvest and yeah. wheat planting.
And it wouldn't be beyond you if we really talked about it over time, but yeah, I know, not totally an ag guy. So, and fall harvest is kind of what we're doing right now. I mentioned earlier we're a little bit slow. We didn't get started real well. Got rain again. It was wet and got a late start. I expected from last spring, I expected corn harvest to be late. It's actually started a little sooner than I thought it might. This June corn, a lot of times that won't be ready, won't dry down until the middle of November. Some of it's actually dried down, ready to go because we had some heat in September. You know, even though we had moisture, we had some heat in September, so dried it down a little better. But here we are. We're slowed down again. Soybean harvest has made good progress. There's quite a bit of milo standing out there. And again, there we will be still harvesting corn Thanksgiving.
Wow, it's going to be that late, huh?
Yeah, it'll be that late.
Oh, my goodness.
Not everybody. There's some people that are done. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, we'll still be harvesting corn Thanksgiving. It just doesn't dry down well when you plant it in June.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's been a tough year for ag producers in this area.
It's been a tough year, but you know, on the flip side of that, it's actually some pretty good crops. You know, we're going to have good yields. I've heard disappointing 40 bushel soybeans. Now in a dry year, you'd think, hey, that's great. But I've heard 70 bushel soybeans too, and actually yield beyond that. So we've got some good yields. You hear corn yields 120 to 140. I'm sure not everybody's getting that, but some of them are. So.
All right. We have a phone call here, so let's if someone's got a question here. Good morning. You're on In Focus.
Thank you for talking about the weaning. The grandchildren at the Pony Ranch weaned one of the foals right before the rain and the snow at a fence line weaning, and that foal would just stand there in that rain and snow, and it just killed me. They have the calf creep, the shelter, the feed. It just amazed me. And sitting here on the porch watching through the summer, I had the fly suppression program going and put out the fly parasites all the time, which there weren't any flies around. But you know that mare, and when she had that foal, would stand there and stomp her feet and swish her tail. But I couldn't see any flies or anything. It's the most amazing thing. This is just Grandpa sitting on the porch worrying about what those kids are up to. Thank you for your presentation.
Yeah, well, I hope they got along well. You know, fence line weeding is a good deal, but you can't always predict the weather.
No, you can't. Well, Greg, we always appreciate you coming on here, and we'll talk to you again down the road.
All right, thanks for your time.
Again, Greg McClure, Riley County Extension Agent here for K-State Research and Extension. Stay tuned. We'll have more In Focus up next on K-Man.